Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Doug Tatum is our guest. He's an entrepreneur in residence at the Jim Rand Institute of Global Entrepreneurship at Florida State University, the author of No Man's Land, a very important book that I still encourage you. It's been out a few years, but I encourage you to get it, especially if you have a growing business and you are trying to, you know, you're thinking about, okay, where do I need to be? Do I need to be run this company in a year or two or five, or do I need to be getting it ready to let somebody else have? And that's what we're talking about right now. The capital markets have changed. They've moved down market a little bit, haven't they, Doug?
Yeah, the private equity markets are moving down market at rates that are surprising, breathtakingly quick. So what that means to your listeners is if you do get a company up to a certain size, the value of that company is probably higher than it's ever been in the history of the United States.
What's an example of industries that they're doing? Are they doing wholesalers? Are they doing manufacturers? Service companies? What are they likely to look at?
All of the above. Let me tell you a story about a board meeting I was in that had a number of private equity managing directors and investment bankers, and I was walking them through the research that indicated that this was going on, and one of the investment bankers said that he had a $25 million company that was doing about $2.5 million in EBITDA, which would be normalized cash flow.
Right.
And that when he put it out on the market, he had over 213 private equity firms and companies investigate, sign the confidentiality and go into the data room. And he got 24 offers.
Wow.
And
which, what industry?
The breath out of the room. He didn't share the industry, but that's going to be the case in any industry if you've got a good company.
So if you're a wholesaler doing would $25 million for a wholesaler be the same thing as $25 million for manufacturing? Is there a different?
They would have different margins.
Yeah,
but
not margins so much as I'm just thinking maybe. 25 million wholesaler might need to be at a higher level than, say, manufacturing or service or something like that. Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. Look at $2.5 million in what we call EBITDA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the threshold.
Earning before interest, taxes, and amortization.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I want to point out here, Doug, is there are a lot of people listening to the show who are not close to that number that you're talking about, that 25 million, but they're competing with people who are. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're, you know, what you got to point, what this lesson today is from Doug, for you, is that your marketplace may change. If your bigger competitor, your big local, you know, locally founded competitor, winds up being acquired by one of these companies, that changes
Correct.
The way you're going to do business. And maybe for the better.
Could be, or it could be more competitive. But I do agree with you that you can't have hundreds of billions of dollars looking for a place to go, and it's now decided to go downstream without it having an impact on your marketplace.
Right. So start keeping your antenna up and paying attention to what's going on. You may start hearing some things, and you got to be prepared to respond to that. From a marketing standpoint, from a customer acquisition standpoint, some of their customers will like the new change, and some of them won't. And you need to be prepared to respond accordingly, right, Doug?
Absolutely. Find your value proposition, go out and compete.
Right.
And as you and I always say, that you know, not every company, in fact, most companies, it's completely legal, ethical, and good business to stay small and make money.
That's right.
And don't throw yourself into oblivion.
That's exactly right, because I mean, as much as I hope those companies who were founded by small business owners, entrepreneurs, as much as I hope they cash out and make a lot of money, I also want to remind people that that creates opportunities out there, and I want to see somebody else come in there and fill their niche exactly. In the middle of all that. So tell us about the banks.
Well, you know, the banks are increasingly being driven by regulatory fixed costs, which I think is going to dramatically reflect how many smaller banks we have in the United States. It's almost as if the regulatory theory is get rid of small banks.
I'm scared to death about this, Doug. This is my audience knows. They've been hearing me talk about this for several years. I've been warning people about this.
Yeah, I don't know where I got this information, but I got it on an ad hoc basis. But the number of charters for new banks in the U.S. is almost completely non-existent.
You could have gotten that from me because I wrote an article about that 18 months ago where I reported that since 2009, there's been one new bank chartered.
Right. Right. Well, that's probably where I did pick it up then. Very, very good catch. And I tell you, in talking with chief credit officers of larger banks, talking to bankers around the country, basically if business banking, which is what they call business banking, small business banking is...
relationship banking.
It's just not happening. Commercial banking, where you're dealing with larger companies, is wide open for business, but there's no loan demand. So the banking sector is, it's a really, really tough situation out there. That capital gap that I wrote about, you know, when your business needs more money than you can personally afford to repay, we used to be able to bridge that with smaller banks. No longer the case.
Well, we're going to get into this in a little more detail after these messages with Doug Tatum, our good friend Doug Tatum. He and I will be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
How long has it been?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.